You know, Jesus, as he traveled about the land of his birth and into other areas, he came in contact with people. And often what he said, as these people made comments about him and his ministry, were revelations of spiritual truth. And in that way, we learn a great deal about the Lord. We've learned about his encounter with the Pharisees and the scribes, and the fact that they challenged him about his disciples eating with unwashing, with hands that were not washed or ceremonially clean. This afternoon, we're looking at Jesus as he has an encounter with a woman. And she's called a woman of Canaan. That simply means that she was not a Jew. She was a Gentile woman. And that's what makes this particularly important, is because Jesus had not been sent, as we'll learn, except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he had forbidden his apostles to go into Samaria. He said, do not go down to Samaria. And he'd forbidden them to go to other places. And now Jesus is in another place, the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And while he's there, this Canaanitish woman, this Gentile woman, comes in contact with him. And the encounter that they have furnishes us with a great deal of spiritual information. Let's read this together, Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus had an encounter with his enemies, and they sought to destroy his influence with his people. He taught his disciples, so they said, to reject tradition, and therefore Jesus should be rejected. But Jesus did not yield to the pressure of these religionists. He told them the truth, and he expressed to them their error, and it offended them. And the error was that they were saying, what goes into a man defiles him. And Jesus corrected this error by saying, no, it's what comes out of a man's heart that defiles him. As Jesus comes to the area of Tyre and Sidon, here he encounters a woman of Canaan, someone whom he should never have even spoken to, or she should never have even spoken to him. This is how great the prejudice was between these people. But as we look at this woman of Canaan, we see that she was a woman who had a very strong need. And the need that she had was for the mercy of God and for the help of God. She said to Jesus, have mercy on me. And the word mercy doesn't describe an emotional attitude. It is a mixture of compassion and the ability to help. So when this woman asked Jesus for mercy, she's asking for him to care for her and to have compassion upon her, and at the same time use the resources at his command to help her with the problem that she has. And we see her faith as it begins to blossom by the fact that she refers to him as the son of David. And only Messiah could have been the son of David. So this woman recognized that Jesus was more than a Jewish rabbi, that he was more than a Jewish prophet, that he really is the descendant of King David, and therefore can legitimately offer to the people the kingdom of God. She needed help because she had a daughter that the Bible describes as being grievously vexed with a devil. Some translators say that this was a serious mental illness. One of them wrote it this way: "My daughter is seriously afflicted with insanity." Whatever her physical or mental state was, the word grievous describes it. And that simply means it was something that brought great grief to her. So she had need. And she had a need that only the mercy of God could meet. No prophet could help her. No physician could help her. Here was a woman who stood in need of the mercy and help of God. But there were barriers to her faith. And one of these barriers was the impatient disciples. You would think that when someone came to Jesus and said, "Have mercy upon me, thou son of David," that the apostles and the disciples would have been encouraged and excited by this and would have encouraged her to continue to make her plea to him. And yet when Jesus answered her not a word, they assumed that Jesus was displeased with what she was doing. In other words, she said, "Help me," and he didn't say a thing. The apostles or disciples thought that his silence meant, "I'm not interested in this person. I wish she'd go away." So immediately they said, "Send her away, for she cries after us." And yet they had misinterpreted the silence of Jesus. They had not understood correctly why Jesus did not answer her. He did not answer her because he was uninterested in her, but he was simply allowing her faith to take root and to blossom. And he himself realized that he was facing what we might term a dispensational dilemma. He said, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And he was sent to the house of Israel to call them to repentance and to acknowledge him as Messiah and King, so that he at that time might restore to Israel the kingdom. He was rejected, but he had not been sent as the king to the Gentiles. He had been sent as a king only to the Jews. And here is this woman asking for help, and there is that dispensational circumstance. And yet Jesus is going to step away from it and help her in spite of it. She pressed her claim to Jesus. She said, then she came and worshiped him. This simply means that she fell at his feet or in some way showed reverence to Jesus and said, "Lord, help me." He had advanced a very strong theological principle to her, and she sort of waved it aside and said, "Lord, help me." She didn't say, "Have mercy on me." She's already said that. And he's already said, "I've not sent to you. I've not been sent to help you." And she said, "Lord, help me." And that was exactly what the Lord needed in order to help him, to help her rather. Jesus explained his status. "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." And this has to be one of the most insulting statements that a person of one race could make to another. It was, no doubt, a very popular proverb. She's a Gentile, and she's come to him and said, "Lord, have mercy upon me, for my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. He said, I am not sent to help you, I am sent to help Israel. And she said, Lord, help me. And he said, it's not meet, it's not fitting to take bread away from the children and give it to dogs. And the insult would be this: the Jewish people are children, and the Gentile people are dogs. And as I said, that would have been an extremely racist and prejudicial statement to have made. And yet Jesus said it. It's recorded in the Bible. And yet this woman was not offended by it. You remember how the Pharisees were offended by the statements that Jesus made about being ceremonially made unclean by washing or not washing. And yet this woman, when she had such a strong statement made to her, where in essence Jesus referred to her as a dog and referred to Israel as the master's children. Now, if anyone had a reason to be offended and to be terribly upset, this Canaanitish woman certainly had a reason. But you know what she said? She said, I recognize the truth that you're speaking. I understand what you're saying. I know you mean that you have been sent as the son of David to the house of Israel to call them to repentance and to offer them the kingdom. I understand that. But I also understand that involved in all of this is the fact that Gentiles are going to benefit from all that happens to Israel. Because if the obedience of Israel to God Almighty brings blessing, or the disobedience of Israel brings blessing to the Gentile, and we understand that in Father Abraham shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So she said, that's the truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And in that, she included herself. She said, you have spoken the truth. I realize that what you're saying is absolutely true. But even the dogs get to eat some of the crumbs that fall from the table of the children. And when Jesus heard her say this, it brought on a great admiration for her from him. And he said, O woman, great is thy faith. He's not said that to many people. He said it to a centurion. He said it on one or two other occasions, but he hadn't said it to Peter. He hadn't said it to others. Only a few times has Jesus admired people for their faith. But he said, O woman, great is thy faith. And you'll notice that the admiration of Jesus was for her faith. Not for her looks, not for her personality, not for her cunning speech, not for her ability to deceive and get what she wanted from him through complimenting him. But Jesus complimented her for her faith, and then gave her the blessing, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And what is it that she willed? Jesus gave her a blank check. What is it that you will to have happen in your life? And it was very obvious she hadn't changed. You know, sometimes we go to God with a distinct need. And when we lay that before God and we see it immediately dealt with, we're apt to broaden our needs and ask for more than we ever asked for before, or perhaps even change our request to include something we had normally thought would be entirely impossible. But this woman had a desire. She had a will. And the will that she came to the Lord with first was that her daughter might be made whole. And all the other things that passed, she still stuck with that one desire. She still knew what she wanted. She wanted her daughter made whole. And the Bible tells us that her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Eternal principles that we see in this, I think, are these. Without faith, it is impossible to know God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. With faith, God can be found and God can be known. With faith, God can be served, and God will be our God. So it's a life that we live with faith or without faith. If we live our lives with faith, we are pleasing to God and we serve God. If we live our lives without faith, we do not serve God and we do not please God. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him.